Welcome to this week's sermon at Village Presbyterian Church. At Village, we seek to be shaped by the life of Christ, to practice authentic friendship, and serve the world. You're invited to join us at either our Mission Campus or our Antioch Campus. For now, we hope you hear a word for your own life in this sermon.
Today's scripture is from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. You can find this on page 937 in your Pew Bible. But first, please join me in prayer. Quiet us, O God. Quiet everything in us so that we can hear you, so we can hear the harmonies of hope and the notes of challenge. Quiet us so that we can follow the words. And if we cannot follow them, let them follow us. However it happens, let your word and our hearts meet. Quiet us, O Lord, so that we have a chance to hear your clanging promise of a new day. Amen. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God. He saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever.
If you will, picture the scene. An itinerant rabbi who has been preaching and interpreting scripture in ways that no one has heard. He has already healed some people, scandalously so, doing it sometimes on the Sabbath. Word spreads about this man from Galilee. People seek him out. They want to hear what he has to say. And in this Luke's version, this all happens rather quickly. So much so that in this fifth chapter, he has not yet called any of his 12 apostles, but is already so popular that crowds are following him, pressing in upon him. And on this particular day, Jesus is walking, he's teaching, and he sees up there ahead of him, near the shore, he sees a couple of boats. It's clear that the boats have already returned from a night of fishing. The fishermen are washing their nets on them, but what Jesus sees in this moment is an opportunity. Jesus sees something that could be used for his purposes, something that would benefit the crowds that were following him, seeking to hear him, and an opportunity that would also make others partners with him in his ministry. And so he gets into one of the boats and asks Simon a question. Note, not the other way around, not the question and then into the boat, but into the boat. And then he asks Simon a question. He says, "Can we put your boat out into the water?" But in order for Simon to do this, he's going to make some decisions. He's going to have to expend some effort. He ultimately has to decide whether or not he will allow Jesus to use what Simon has. And I don't imagine in this moment that having already been out all night after coming back maybe dejected from not having caught anything, I don't imagine that Simon thought that this particular request was particularly convenient for him. But I do think that Jesus has a habit of doing that. I think Jesus often finds us in the midst of our lives, or maybe when we have just finished with something and then says to each of us, hey, I can use that for the sake of God's kingdom if you'll go back out. And so right away we see in this narrative, we see how Jesus is not just coming to Simon to ask a question, but is coming to each of us. Because Jesus needs to use something that you have. And maybe for you, maybe you can readily identify whatever that is that Jesus is asking of you. But if you can't, then I encourage you to do some searching. Maybe even offer a prayer to God saying, "God, I am willing, just ask me." Maybe what God is asking is for some of your time. Maybe God is asking for some resource that you have access to, but you have been hesitant to use. Maybe it's putting some talent of yours to use in the service of the church or in some organization. Maybe it is simply that you are being asked to slow down. Slow down so that you might notice someone in need at school or at work, that you would notice them and reach out in some way. No matter what, Jesus, I am sure, needs to use something that you have, and our decision is how we will respond to the question. Simon's response. Simon decides to take Jesus out into the water, and when Jesus is done in that moment, what we might expect is that Jesus would say, "Okay, thanks for the boat, let's head on back to shore," right? But not what happens. No, Jesus turns to Simon when he is done teaching, and he says, "Hey, let's go fishing." And something that I love about this text is that we get Simon's response. It goes something like this: "Well, with all due respect, you see, we are fishermen, and we've been out all night, and we haven't caught anything, and you're a rabbi who probably doesn't really know anything about fishing." And then right there, I imagine the author has left out a sigh or an eye roll. I've worked with students for many years, and adolescents are like professional eye rollers, right? I have never before in my life seen students roll their eyes at snow days until this year. But it's that kind of eye roll that I imagine here. It's Simon saying, "We were just out there and we didn't catch anything. And what do you even know about fishing? But okay, I guess we'll go out there," right? Has someone ever asked you to do something? And maybe in your head, or maybe even out of your mouth, something like this: listen, you have no idea how busy I am. If you knew how busy I am, you would understand why I'm gonna have to say no. If you only understood how shy I am, if you only knew what I've been through, if only you knew how broken I am, if only you knew that I'm afraid to do that. You see, you don't know my life, and so you don't know what you're asking. What we tell people all the time is that we know our own lives best. No one understands my life better than I do, and because no one understands my life, they don't understand, and I can tell them no. And do you know, and this is honest, do you know that that is probably true? It is probably true that you know your life best with one exception. God knows your life better than you do. And so there will be a time that God calls to you, and your knee-jerk reaction or temptation will be to say to God, "If only you knew my life like I do." And in response, God will say, "I do. I know your life better than even you. And I'm still asking." And if only in that moment we might pause, or even eye roll like Simon might have, if only in that moment we would trust that God truly, truly does know us better than we can know ourselves. And then to lead our lives in light of that trust and that truth. For not only does Jesus need something that you have, and Jesus knows our lives better than we know our lives, if we can trust that, then just like Simon, we might be willing to head into the deep waters with our God. And so Simon, he takes his boat out. He drops his nets and brings in such a haul of fish that their nets begin to break. They have to call out to the other boat for help. And it's at this moment in the story that I should share a little secret with you. There are people who will tell you that if you just have Jesus in your life, then it will all be better. And that sounds awfully nice, doesn't it? I just wish it were true. Author Donald Miller writes, "To be sure, I like Jesus. I still follow him. But the idea that Jesus will make everything better is a lie. The truth is, the apostles never really promise that Jesus is going to make everything better here on earth. Can you imagine an infomercial with Paul testifying to the amazing product of Jesus, saying that he once had power and authority, but since he's tried Jesus, he's been moved from prison to prison, beaten, and routinely bitten by snakes? It's not a product that many people would purchase. You see, what I notice about this part of the story is that Jesus is in the boat with Simon, and their net is about to break. And it's not Jesus that steps in this moment. It's the other boat. In fact, you could argue that Jesus has caused this situation, and in response, he doesn't wave his hand to make an unbreakable net. He doesn't offer even a suggestion on what they should do. It's Simon that summons the other boat to come to his aid. This is where the story gets really cool. This story of an abundant catch, so much that help is required, it is set within a story of a large crowd, a large catch of fisher of people terminology. This large crowd is pressing in on Jesus, and it ends with his invitation to come and help him. It turns out that it's not only in scarcity that we need others caring for us, but maybe in abundance as well. And I don't mean to say that Jesus should not be a part of your life. He should be. I am convinced of that truth. But Jesus alone is not enough. We need others. There will be times when it feels like your nets are about to break, your boat is about to sink, either from abundance or from just wear and tear. And in both cases, we need people by our side to help us and support us. That was true even of Jesus. So this section, if you were to look it up in your Bible, this section is not titled Simon Catches a Lot of Fish with the Help of Jesus. It's not titled The Miraculous Catch. It is titled Jesus Calls the First Disciples. In the end, this is a story about Simon, who will later be called Peter, about how Simon and the brothers James and John come to follow Jesus. And they come to follow him not just with an invitation, but only after these events occur. And I know what you're thinking, because you've all read Matthew so many times. What you're thinking in this moment is that when you read Matthew, the call of the first disciples is different than it is here in Luke, and you are right. In Matthew, what we read is this: as Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon and Andrew, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and they followed him. And as he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James and John, in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called to them. Immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed Jesus. Now, I'll leave aside what the father Zebedee might have thought about any of this in that moment, but Matthew's version portrays people with nothing more than an invitation who willingly leave all that they know and change their lives. And I will put it out there that that is laudable, that I would only hope that I would do the same if I were in that situation, but I know myself too well. And maybe that's why Luke's version speaks to me. In Luke, it's only after a series of events, using a boat, fishing together, the coming together of community, it's only after all of these things that James and John and Simon, who will be Peter, only after that, that they leave the lives they know. I wonder, maybe even fear sometimes, that we trade too heavily on the name of Jesus when we're trying to talk to others about our faith, rather than just inviting people to join us for small parts of our own journey. Because for me, in my experience, I'm willing to go along with a small ask. And if that goes well, if that works out, maybe I'm willing to go a little farther. And somewhere along the line, maybe I experience difficulty and I receive the gift of community around me. And for me, maybe all of those things need to happen before I'm willing to say to Jesus, "Okay, let's see where this goes." Luke's version presents us with the idea that if Jesus were to call them first, if he were to call them right away, without inviting them into steps of trust first, maybe they wouldn't have said yes. Maybe they wouldn't have been able to see the possibility of their lives changing in ways that were good for them and that would be good for the world without catching glimpses first. You see, in both Matthew's version and Luke's versions, these first apostles, they were both willing. They both, in both narratives, they were not perfect people. But only in Luke do we see trust being built rather than assumed. So I mentioned it before, Ash Wednesday is coming in a few days. It's the beginning of the season of Lent, a season where, as Randall mentioned, it's a season when we prepare ourselves for Holy Week and for Easter. It is a good season to ask ourselves where we are in our faith lives. It's a good time to commit something that we have to God's purposes. It's a good time to stop offering reasons to God why we can't and to instead entertain the notion that we can. It is a good time to lean into those around us. As I also mentioned earlier, Pastor Len has accepted a call to serve the First Presbyterian Church of Columbia, Tennessee. Len has been with us for over 3 years, and he is one of the caringest, most genuine, loving, break-into-songiest people that I know. The people of Columbia, Tennessee have called a true gift of a pastor into their midst. Last Monday, Len led our staff devotional, and in that, he expressed, on the one hand, his sadness of leaving this Village family, but on the other hand, the joy and excitement about what God is calling him to. And in that, there's something in particular that Len said that is going to stick with me for a long time. What he said was that we rarely feel prepared for what God calls us to next. That so often we have the idea that there are those out there who just have no hesitation about responding to God's call, and if only I was like them. But here in Luke, what we read is that maybe we are just like the apostles. Maybe we are like so many of the prophets. Maybe we too are just like Len. And that maybe it's not so much that a response to God's call should be done without so much as raising an eyebrow, but instead it is done with a healthy helping of trust that is built up over a series of decisions throughout one's life. Friends, that opportunity is there for us every day. What do you have that Jesus can use? What does God know about your own life better than you do? Who is the community around you that helps you carry the load in times of trouble and in times of abundance? How are you trusting in God in your life? And how will you and those around you be changed because of that trust in the God who is faithful? It is a good season to say to God, okay, let's see where this goes. Amen.
It's a wonderful love of Jesus. It's a wonderful, oh, wonderful love. Oh, wonderful love.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon at Village Presbyterian Church. Learn more about us at villagepres.org, and we invite you to join us again next week.